Whatever the voice say, lessons from the late Parshas Korach. A message on really, I would say the last day of yeshiva, but it's not. Yeshiva's over. So the fact that you're here is yesh koyach, and yesh koyach to those that will listen, those who already left last night and today. I hope this idea makes a lot of sense. Most rabbeim who give practical advice, as they should, give advice that makes a lot of sense. And they say things like, you know, be very strong with minyan, and set yourself a schedule, and make sure to learn every day, and make sure to have a chavrusa, somebody who's going to push you to learn. And they're all amazing pieces of advice. The piece of advice that I want to give today is a little bit different than that. And that's really based on what you've experienced this year in Israel, in Leva Torah. But you've had a really, really interesting year. There will never be a year like this in the history of years in Israel. It's impossible. And if you thought that you just went through, you know, COVID, so that was pretty bad, and you, you know, were jumping up and down that you're the only yeshiva that didn't get COVID, and then you did. But thank God, it seems like we all got through it. However, towards the end, when COVID was finally over, one of our first events that, as we know, a lot of guys went to was Lag BaOmer, was Miron. And there was tremendous tragedy there. And then a war started in Israel. And like, you know, somebody wrote a post, which I thought was the opposite of what they should have written. They said, I feel so bad for the Shana Aleph kids, they should get a full refund. So I said, no, I think they should pay double this year, because it was such an amazing experience with everything going on. We had also, of course, Shavuos, right before Shavuos in Karlin, the collapse that killed people. And now, as you leave, we're questionable whether we're going to have a government or not. And the government seems to be a very strange government, a government that is not at all pro-religion. Yes, I know there are some religious people representing us there, but it's something scary what the government, if it turns out to work, what it's going to be. And through all these experiences, and through hopefully your maturity this year, one concept that needs to sit with you very well, and it's a mature concept, and that's the concept of hearing Hashem's messages. It is so difficult, I hope, to go through an entire year and a half of Corona and not be affected by it in a religious way. Not to be able to turn to your children one day and say, these are things I decided to do because of Corona. Corona was a horrible thing. It killed, obviously, as we know, thousands, not just, but thousands of our own people. And hundreds of thousands more, millions more. And then we were so close, Nebuch Lo Aleinu, to Lag BaOmer and the tragedy there. It has to affect us. But one of our biggest problems in life is that we don't listen to Hashem's messages. And you know why? Because we say, oh, that message wasn't for me. There's a great rabbi out there. I love listening to his name. It's Rav Aaron Levy. Rav Aaron Levy tells a story. I'm sure, I don't know, because of COVID, if you had this experience. If you want a Musar Shmuz, and you're not in the mood to open up a Seal Susharim, just get into a cab, you know? Go onto your app, get, and I guarantee you the guy who's going to drive you is going to... Right, I just had this. I came in on Thursday, got into a cab. The cab, you know, had to tell me about the government. I said to him, "Oh, I wasn't here for a week. What happened? What happened?" The guy goes crazy. You know, he goes crazy. So Rav Aaron Levy is in the cab, and in the front sits a gentleman who clearly does not look religious, and he says to him, "I got to tell you a story. You look like a rabbi." He's like, "Yeah." He goes, "I got a good story for you." So he tells a story about when he was in war. I believe it was the war over in the Suez Canal with Egypt. And they're all sitting there one day. And one of the soldiers notices that his friendly soldier, his friend, a snake, they're in the desert, has gone onto his leg. And they're very calm, and they say, "Okay, dude, listen very carefully. There's a snake on you." everybody knows that the snake's going to bite you if you become, you know, agitated, irritated. Stay calm. And he was very calm. And as he stayed calm, unfortunately, the snake did not. And the snake went up his leg, through his shirt, around his neck, and started to strangulate him. And knowing that this was the last part of his life, he very loudly screamed the Shema Yisrael. And he said, Shema Yisrael, and this guy's telling it over, not religious, telling over this, wow, this so Shema Yisrael, holy cow, what a... And I said, wouldn't you know it, a number of years later, we had a reunion, and at the reunion, this guy comes, he's got a big yarmulke on, he's got payas now, I'm like, who are you, what's going on here? And he says, what do you mean, who am I? He says, do you remember that story that didn't affect you? He says, that changed my life. I almost died, and all I said was a pasuk of Shema Yisrael, and God saved my life. All of a sudden, the snake, for some reason, just left. So Rav Aaron Levy tells the cab driver, can I ask you a question? Why weren't you affected by this? You literally saw the Yad Hashem, literally. He says, Slicha? He goes, me? I'm Gershom. That was my friend Shimon. It happened to Shimon. That's Shimon's thing. That's not me. I don't understand what you're talking about. If that was me, then maybe I would be affected. But why would I be affected? That doesn't make any sense what you're saying. And there Rav Aaron Levy says, this is a terrible symptom that we suffer from. Right? You say, wow, if I was in that scenario, right? I have a friend who had COVID and he almost died from COVID. But that doesn't affect me. What does that have to do with me? Right? Could have, unfortunately, our own family members who could be affected with it. And we don't react to it. It doesn't make any sense. But it happens to us all the time. And to me, the year in Israel, your Shana Aleph, is all about being affected by messages. By finally hearing, you know, I have something not appropriate to say. As you know, I'm normally very appropriate. So, you know. I think that the Shana Aleph program is amazing for girls. But for guys, it should be like after college, right? Because girls at 18 are like, they're ready for it, right? You know, they come to class and they're like, they have their books and they're ready to take notes and they have their pens and pencils and highlighters and all that, right? And guys like, yo, what's up? What's going on? You know? Man, you remember the first number of weeks, you know? It's crazy. So, maybe if it was the year at, and it wouldn't work, I know. It's hard. Because we're asking you to be mature and to care about something else. I said to a student yesterday who had this chus of coming to my house, God, I said to him, that is the hardest part. To hear the message of Hashem saying, hey, dude, Hashem's talking, Hashem gave you an amazing year, amazing things happened to you. The question is, what do you do with those messages? Our parasha, Parashas Korach, speaks about that. And it's a remarkable, if you see what happened in the parasha, it's ridiculous. But ultimately what happens is, nobody listens to the messages of Korach. We know the whole story about Korach and what Korach does and the Yishkoyach. And he questions, and he's very smart. Because if we believe that chronologically this is what happened, it was right after Shlach. Korach always wanted to question. He always wanted to be the Kohen Gadol. But it was bad timing. Right? He wanted to do this already, Parshas Baal Oscha, but he saw that, you know, everybody felt bad for Miriam, because it's not a good time. Shlach was an amazing time. B'nai Yisrael, right? They're crying. They're like, no, we're not going to enter Eretz Yisrael. And then boom, here he comes. That's the guy. Comes exactly at the moment you want him. That's what, by the way, that's the Yetzer Hara, right? He finds you at that moment where you're just dejected, right? For some guys, it's already going to start this morning. And they land in JFK. And God's got it, right? God's, hopefully they're going to hear the message of like, I gotta go to Minyan. This is my big challenge. And the Yetzer Hara is like, dude, you didn't sleep on the plane. It's not your fault. Remember that baby on the plane? That baby?
You can't go to sleep, my friend.
And you wake up at 4 and your parents understand, you know. And they're like, oh, shoot, it's getting dark outside. I should put my tefillin on. You know? That's the Yetzer. Korach comes exactly at the right time. He questions. And the Psukim say, remarkably, what happens? Hashem creates this unbelievable phenomenon where he's literally swallowed up by earth. Because of his speech, because he opened his mouth in the wrong way, the earth opens. Now you would expect Ola B'nai Yisrael to be like, oh boy, I can't believe that we believe that this guy is crazy. You know what's amazing? Literally right after, B'nai Yisrael complained again. Remarkable. And they say, well, he was right, that guy. Seriously? Did you want that to happen to you? And immediately Moshe defends Aaron again and says, okay, bring the fire pans. Let's see who's going to have the keteiros. And of course, you have the famous story of Perech Mata Aaron. They all put their staffs down and Aaron's grows and everybody's okay. But then the psukim literally end by this happening, the keteiros, and again, they complain again. And that's when he does the Perech Mata Aaron. And this section remains with the following pasuk. They still complain. After all these great things happen, they say, oh boy, now we really can't even go to the Mishkan because we're going to die. They don't hear the simple message of the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Doesn't make any sense. They don't get it. How can it be that you spent a year in Israel and you didn't change at all? Despite COVID, despite all the messages Hashem sent you, you still don't get it? I'm sure you know that famous story about the guy who's drowning. And he looks up to Shemayim and he says, God, please save me, please save me. And a boat comes and it throws a life preserve, whatever, and to get him. And he goes, no, God's going to save me. Shkoyach. Right? And a helicopter comes. And he says, we're here to save you from the Coast Guard. He's like, no, God's going to save me. V'chulu. And he drowns. And he goes up to Shammai and he's like, I don't understand. Why didn't you save me, God? He's like, seriously? I sent the boat. I sent the help. Right? Doesn't make sense. There's a great video. It was a great video. I love this video. Right before Rosh Hashanah, this was put out. There's a guy who's late for an interview in Tel Aviv. And he is like, Baruch Hashem, he finally got an interview. The guy's, you know, hard job market. And he cannot find a spot. He can't find a parking spot. So Tel Aviv, he can't find a spot. And he's like, if I don't come on time, I actually once had this, I had an interview. And I came 15 minutes late because there was no parking. And I met with the CEO, and it was a bad interview. He's like, if you come 15 minutes for this interview, why would I hire you as my employee? Anyway, he hired me. I mean, made me an offer anyway, but I didn't take it. I joined the yeshiva. That was a good idea. Okay, anyway, so he's not religious, but he looks up to Shemayim and he says, God, I know we're not on the greatest terms. I need this job badly. If you could please find me a spot in busy Tel Aviv, I'm going to change. I'm going to put tefillin on every day. And as he says those words, the spot next to him opens up, but not just a regular spot. It's a yucky, dingy car. And who winks at him? A Chabad rabbi who's pulling out of the spot, of course, blowing shofar because it was before. And he pulls out of the spot. And what does the guy say?
Never mind Hashem.
I got it. I got a spot myself. That's what happens to us. We don't see the Yad Hashem in these messages. How did the people who saw Korach literally, the phenomenon was unbelievable, then complain more, and then complain again? I think this is similar. Rabbi Franz, great, great speaker from Neir Yisrael, He speaks about this in many parshas ago, but it actually relates to a parsha in a few weeks from now. I'll see in a moment. The Psukim tell us by the Esemakos something remarkable. That when God, we now go to the seventh Makkah, right? Would you, like I don't know, when excuse me for saying this, I was just in America. When you watch the Yankee game, they have the review 9 o'clock in the morning. So what do they do? It's the greatest thing, because they have to fit it in an hour. So like they'll come back from a commercial and they'll go, and now we're joining the Yankee game in the seventh inning. Why? Because the fifth and sixth inning were so boring. They just join. So let's join at the seventh Makkah. The seventh Makkah is the Makkah of Hail. Barad. Thank you. Thank you. You learned Hebrew. It's good. Good, good. So it's Hail. Or Kale. No. Hail. Okay, sorry. So the Pasuk says, Hayire et Devar Hashem. Those that feared God, Mi'avde Paro, from the servants of Paro, Henis et Avadav. What did they do? They put their animals inside. And those that didn't believe, they said, nothing's going to happen. So the Midrash says, who feared Hashem? That was Eov. Right? We learn that Eov and Bilam are servants of advisors to Paro. They ran away, the whole story. Yeah, Eov. So it says that was Eov. Who didn't fear Hashem and left his animals outside? That was Bilam. That's the Midrash. So it's pretty amazing. Seven Makkahs until now, Moshe's been exactly right about every single one. Moshe says exactly what's going to happen. He says, bring your animals inside. And what happens? People don't listen. Like Bilam. So Rav Yaakov Weinberg, he quotes his Rebbe, the Rosh Hashiva, Rosh Hashiva of Neri Yisrael. Rav Yaakov Weinberg says, that's the difference between Moshe and Bilam. We'll be reading in a few weeks who this great Bilam is. Horrible Bilam, of course. Moshe Rabbeinu, whose name is mentioned from Shemos until the end of the Torah, except for one parasha, he's the focal point. He's the narrative of the Torah. We don't meet him until 80. Pretty interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't meet until 80, which, by the way, gives you guys a lot of time to become great, okay? We meet him at 80 years old. Zalman Sorotzkin has this great vort that he says. People, you know, say, forget it now. 12 years of schooling, I totally didn't do anything. So 1 year in Israel, Moshe Rabbeinu is 80, okay? You're good, right? Rabbi Akiva was 40. You're good, you're fine. You're on a good path now. What was unique? So every time there's a story about Moshe, we should focus on it, says Rav Weinberg. So what happens? The Pasuk tells us that when he sees the burning bush, he says something very interesting. That's one of our first encounter with Moshe Rabbeinu. So he sees the burning bush. Doesn't make any sense. It's burning, but it's not being consumed. I have to go to the. What does he do? He recognizes that there's a message here. He says, something's going on over here. I want to look a little bit closer. But he'd be like, oh, that's cool, and move on. He didn't move on. He says, something weird is going on over here. Moshe is sensitive to stimuli. In stark contrast to Bilam. We're going to learn a few weeks from now, Bilam's donkey keeps hitting the wall and he doesn't see anything until finally he sees a malach with a sword and say, dude, stop doing what you're doing. And go, what does he do? Does he listen? No. The donkey talks to him. Right? This is before the movie. The donkey talks to him. And he doesn't think there's anything weird about that. And he keeps trying to curse the Jewish people. Every time he tries to curse, it comes a bracha. Still doesn't. Chavetz Chaim points out that in Parshas Balak, we normally have, you see in the Torah, there's breaks, right? In a Chumash, you'll see peis and samachs, the pauses. Not in Balak. You know why? Because the entire story, when Balak says Bilam, it's one long story of no stoppage. They don't stop for a moment. The Torah stops to give Moshe Rabbeinu and us time to say, wait a minute, let's review what just happened. Not in this parsha. And in our parsha, in Parsha's Korach, how can it be that people don't get the message? That's my message for Shana Aleph. The message is, you have to hear the message. Ribbono Shalom has been talking to you all year, but this year more than ever. Hands down, Hashem's been talking to you more than ever. Hashem gave you COVID for you to change. And within COVID, very interesting things happen here in the yeshiva. You know, people got COVID, obviously. This room, that room, move there, move there. No, no, no. And then we thought everything was over. We had Miron, as we spoke about. And then we had a war. We gave you everything that we could. We put so much money into this year. It was the war. Remote, I spent a lot of money on that war. Right? Siren, about it. I'm sorry to say this is not appropriate, what I'm about to say, of course. And you know I'm appropriate, as he said. I think it was good you had a siren. Imo Anochi Batzara, feel it. It wasn't good for my family, because since only one siren hit, my kids couldn't sleep because of that. My wife used to woke me up in the middle of the night, almost every night. She's like, do you hear those booms? You heard the booms. I'm like, no, I didn't. But now I do. Thanks for waking me, you know. But it's good. I'm feeling the people of Ashdod. I feel it. The number one thing you could take from this year is that God talks to you every day. Not to somebody else. To you. Rav Aaron Levy's final words to this cab driver was, don't you think that you're lucky that Hashem didn't put a snake on you? He put a snake on somebody else? Why can't you just... do you want him to do it to you? Is that what you want? Sometimes God loves us so much, he just stubs our toe in the morning. But when we don't get it, more things happen. Many, many years ago, I was driving in Teaneck down Cedar Lane. And it just started snowing, so everything was slick. And when I went to brake, I had no brakes. It's not a good feeling, my boy said. And now you start to think about driving school. What are you supposed to do? Into the skid, out of the skid, right? You're like pumping the brakes. Everything I'm thinking about, I don't do. So finally, I remember there's something called an emergency brake. And I remember, I mean, this is really true. I put the emergency brake up, and the car just starts to go like this, and finally stops. And I'm like, and I look up, and it literally stopped, I promise you, at the service station that I service my car. And I come out, and I'm sweating, it's terrible. And I happen to be owned by an Israeli, Yoram. And the woman that, you know, when you go in, I tell her the whole story, and I'm like, why would God do this? I almost died. She's not religious, and she looks at me, and she says, Atayim Kippah, you're wearing a yarmulke. God... obviously, he needed to send you a message. But instead of, God forbid, it happening on Route 4 on a highway where you could have died, he did it down Cedar Lane. And you know where you ended up? You didn't have to pay for a tow truck. In the place that you have your car serviced. And as Yoram said to me afterwards, I said, oh my God, I need new brakes. I can't believe it. And he said to me, let me ask you a question. You eat candy for 5 years. You go to a dentist. And dentist says to you, you have six cavities. He's like, how is that possible? He's like, because you never service your car. What do you expect? You have no brakes. You know, like, you did it to yourself. But this woman was saying to me, Hashem's sending you a message. Stop. Why can't you listen to it? There's got to be that everybody felt something this year. You went to a concert. You had an amazing Friday night davening. You felt it, but you didn't do anything with it. God was sending you a message. Hey, hi. It's called a neshama. Welcome. He's here. We don't want to listen to it many times. We feel something weird. In the beginning of the year, Baruch Hashem, you didn't experience this year. But you did experience, hopefully, an amazing Yom Kippur. And a lot of times, after Yom Kippur, the guys are on such a spiritual high, they don't know what to do with themselves. How do I interpret that spiritual high? So they make a gezeira shava. You learned about this in Gemara. And they say, high equals high. And they go to Ben Yehuda. They get physically high because they don't know the difference. If this year has taught you anything, it's that you have to focus. I guess everyone's going to go on a plane soon. Please, don't get the Wi-Fi. Don't pay. I just did this. Terrible. Spend time. It's the only time you have in your life where you could actually spend time thinking. Nobody could bother you, right? Put this over your head so people don't think you're Jewish. So they don't say, no, minyan, right? I started wearing a hat now because I don't ask me. There's a story, I don't know if it's true, or Y.Y. Jacobs tells a story of a guy who covers himself with a blanket and has a little note on the blanket. And the blanket says,
The answer is no. I don't want to join Mincha. I don't want to join Ma'ariv. I don't want to join Shacharis. I don't have any snacks for you. I don't want to give Tachanasas Kala. I'm not interested. The answer is no. Guy bothers him and he says, new. He says, I'm collecting money for my yeshiva. He says, I wrote the whole thing. This is Tachanasas Kala. This is for yeshiva. Okay, fine. Let me just end. The message is very clear. The message is to hear the message. The Ribbono Shel Olam is talking to us. We should be zeichet to hear the messages of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We should be zeichet to take the path and remember what happened to you this year. Maybe even write it down and say, here, I'm writing a letter to myself. This is how I'm committing to change. Because I had an amazing year and I wanted to. And Baruch Hashem, you'll feel it again. In Mirz Hashem, you'll have the schus if you're not coming back for Shana Bat. But you'll be able to come back to yeshiva to recharge your batteries. You're going to need that every few years. Yeah, of course. It's a tune-up. You need it. You need the continued inspiration. Should be zeichet to hear the message of the Ribbono Shel Olam and be very successful and give a nachas ruach to us, Yeshivat Leva Torah, to your parents, to everyone around you. And we should all be zeichet with that to build bais shlishi b'mehir v'yameinu, amen.